We're going to start here a new sugya, Baruch Hashem. We touched on it, but we really didn't get into it. Okay, move around some of the chairs.
Yeah, got to rearrange.
Okay. And we're up to Daf Zayin Amud Aleph.
Right.
So we're about halfway down the Amud, maybe even more than halfway down. Tana Rabbanan Shnayim Adukim Bishtar. You'll see the lines on the bottom of the page get a little bit wider, so it's the third of the wide lines on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. And we'll probably spend most of that time on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, but so you have two people, a Malva and a Lova, holding on to the Shtar. Malva Omer, the Malva is claiming Shali, who it was in my possession, and the loan was not paid back. V'nofal mimeni, and I dropped it inadvertently, and the mitzasiv, and he found it. The lova picked it up. Lova amar shalchahu. Yes, it's true that originally it was yours, but pratichalachan, I paid you back. So, what's the deal if a lova pays back the malva? What happens to the shtar?
Back to the Lova.
The Lova gets back to Shtar. Now the Lova is claiming that he dropped the Shtar. And the Malva quickly lunged, you know, for the Shtar because he wants to claim that it wasn't paid back. So the Brisa now records a machlokas between Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And according to Rebbe, Yiskayim Ashtar b'chosmov, once we are mekayim the shtar, that means two witnesses will testify as to the authenticity of the shtar, if I got that right.
Authenticity
of the shtar, thank you. Then at that point, we can give the shtar back to the malva. And we're not worried about the claim of the lova that he paid back the shtar and he dropped the shtar. That's Rebbe's view. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer yachloku. Rav Shimon Gamliel says we have to have the lova pay half the loan because we don't know who actually dropped the shtar. And it's very nice and fine and dandy that the malva was able to authenticate this shtar and be mekayim the chosma, but nevertheless, we still don't know. It's possible that the malva received payment for the loan, as the lova indeed claims, and the lova dropped the shtar. Then the brisa continues, and it says, "Nafal liyad dayon lo yotzio olamis," and Rabbi Yossi Omer Hareyu b'cheskaso. So if the shtar was found next to the dayon, I guess in the Bezdin itself, we'll see exactly how that kicks in any way, but the Tanakhama says that since the Malva is not holding on to the Shtar, there's no way that we're allowed to return the Shtar to the Malva. And Rabbi Yossi Omer Arei B'ches Koso, on the contrary, we have every reason to return the Shtar to the Malva. The shtar is a cheskas kashrus, and the malva will collect the chov. So that's the brisa. Now the Gemara is going to analyze the brisa. So we're on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, and we're up to Omar Mar, which, if you take a look, if you count up from the bottom of Amud Aleph, it should be about seven lines up. Let's count it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up. Omar Mar. Yiskayim Hashtar Bechosmav. Now Rebbe was the one who said that if you find the shtar, just be Mekayim the shtar and give it back to the Malva. the Govile Malva Kule. And it sounds like, according to Rebbe, the Malva could collect the entire shtar. It was a $1,000 loan, he'll collect the full $1,000. The Gemara's not happy about that. Velesle Masnis and Shnai Moksim Vitalis Yachloku. The Mishnah says they have two people with an equal claim on an object, they're both holding on to it. Then we split it. And that would seem to be the logic of Rav Shimon Gamliel in this brisa, which is compelling. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman, Bimakuyam Divri Akol Yachloku. There was no debate between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel about a case of a shtar makuyam. In that case, even Rebbe says, and he agrees that we should split, which means that the lover pays half, the malva pays, the lover pays half the loan. So again, even though the simple reading of the brisa seems to indicate that Yiskayim Ashtar Bechosmav, and Rebbe would say we, in such a case, after Kiyim Ashtar, we give the Shtar back to the Malva. No! Even though we Makayim Ashtar, there's no question in our minds that everybody, even Rebbe, would have to agree, Yachloku. That's an application of the Mishnah's principle of Shnayim Oksim Vitalis. Now, let's try to think about the following. The Lova claims that he dropped the shtar. When did he drop the shtar? You remember this? Parativ Lecha. The Lova says he paid back the loan and then he dropped the shtar. He's not questioning the veracity, the authenticity of the shtar. He doesn't claim that the malva, you know, fabricated this whole story about a loan and he got two false witnesses, or he himself, you know, forged the signatures of the shtar. No, he's admitting that there was alva, this was the shtar. The Lova had the shtar written, he had it signed, he gave it over to the Malva, but after he paid back the Chov, he dropped the shtar, unfortunately. Oops, as we say. He dropped the shtar.
So there was just a make if it's Mekuyim or not.
Exactly.
He's saying it's a good shtar.
He's admitting by his own confession that it's a shtar Mekuyim, that there's no hanky-panky here, there's no forgery in the shtar. That's called Moda B'shtar Shekhsava.
Ainsar Chakaimo.
Oh, good, you're excellent. You're already quoting the right mandioma. The intuitive understanding here would be that of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that in such a case we should split the loan, because what are you going to tell me? The shtar is not makuyam. And a shtar sheinu makuyam, we don't rely on a shtar sheinu makuyam. The Rabbanan enacted the takon of kiyum, and here there's no kiyum. Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to counter argue, and he's going to say, well, you know what? Since the lov is moder, that the shtar is a valid shtar, initially, if you follow me, it's a valid shtar. Now already it's a shtar parua. It's already been paid up. But there's no question that there's no hanky-panky, no forfeiting. Oh, I'm sorry, I keep using the word forfeiting, I mean forgery in the signature of the shtar. So basically, we have a shtar makuyam in front of us. And we just finished saying that if this shtar is makuyam, kuliyama lo pligi, that yachloku. Rebbe, on the other hand, holds modem shtar shiksavo sarach lakaimo. This doesn't give the malva an upper hand, as if to say he's holding on to a shtar makuyam. Why? Because even though the lover admits that there was no forgery in the shtar, but nevertheless he's claiming that the shtar is no longer potent, it's no longer valid because it was paid up. And now it's true, he could have denied the whole story. And there's no kiyum on the shtar. He could have just said the shtar and the whole story of the shtar and the lover, the halva, is all a forgery. It's a fake. It's fabricated news. Right? But he didn't say that, so let's believe him when he says parati. Do you understand? Rebbe is looking at the shtar in and of itself. And he's comparing the situation of the lover to the situation of the shtar. The lover has the upper hand here because this shtar has no kiyum to it. If the lover is honest enough to admit that the shtar is a valid shtar, there was no forgery, and then the lover claims that he paid up the shtar, then we should believe the lover. And therefore, in a case of a shtar sheinu mekuyam, the lover has the upper hand, and we should believe it. We're not going to say yachloku. Again, normally you would say that we should apply the din of a shtar mekuyam. And a shtar mekuyam, we said, divrei hakol yachloku. And the lover has to pay back 50% of the loan. But this is not a shtar mekuyam. In other words, the lover has the upper hand. We believe him over the malva to say that he paid back the chov. And the reason is because the shtar is einu mekuyam. If the malva could go ahead and find independent evidence to be mekayim the shtar, then we'll divide up the money as we said before, because shnayim oksim metalis, everybody agrees in the case of the shtar mekuyim. But ilo mekayim le, lo polik. If there's no possibility and the malva was not successful in being mekayim the shtar, then the lover is believed to say that he was poreya, because the lover could have easily denied the whole story. There's a shtar as a bluff. My time on chaspa v'almu, because until you mekayim the shtar, this shtar is totally powerless. It's totally invalid. That's what the chachamim achieved. They took the kenechkara of the shtar and they removed it. They stripped the shtar of its status of a shtar. His man kamash v'leilai shtara. Who is the one who actually is the one who's making the shtar, upgrading the shtar to a status of a valid shtar? The lover, Hoka Amar de Pari. His taina is, and you can't cut off his words in the middle, is that not only was the alva, but there was also piran in the chov. And there's no reason that we shouldn't believe the lover. Rav Shem Gamliel Omer, no. Samar Moda Vishtar Shiksovo, Ein Tzorch L'Kaima, the very fact that the lover confesses that there was alva, the shtar was a valid alva, a valid shtar, there was no counterfeit in the shtar, is therefore the shtar is for all intents and purposes a shtar mekuyam, is afagav d'lo mekayim le'yachloku. We don't have to go through the formal mechanics of kiyum and subpoena two witnesses to come in and testify, either those two witnesses or other two, that this shtar is authentic. No need to authenticate the shtar, the lover has already achieved that goal for us. And once the lover achieved that goal, we go back to the original status of the shtar as a shtar that's valid. And if the shtar is valid, then there's a malva lover fighting over the shtar. We're going to apply the principle of yachloku. But there's one part of this price that makes no sense. And that's what we're going to focus our attention on right now. The price of the sefer says, Nafal yad dayan, and we record a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi. The Tanakam says that when we find the shtar next to the dayan, in the bezdin itself, then that freezes the shtar. Nothing's going to happen with the shtar. Now, presumably, the shtar has a cheskes kashus to it. Probably, it fell next to the dayan after there was kiyum. And Rabbi Yossi, therefore, Omer, harem v'cheskoso, we have to give the shtar back to the malva. It has a cheskes kashus, and the malva will be able to collect the chov. So the Gemara right away asks the following question: what do you mean, nafal yadayon lo yotzi uhu olamis? That the shtar was found by the dayan. So what? Maishna? Well, what's the significance here of the fact that liyadayon, that he found that the shtar was located, was found next to the dayan? Oh. What does it mean it was shtar? It doesn't mean that the dayan found the shtar. The shtar was found. It was found next to the dayan. What's the significance of finding a shtar next to the dayan? So the answer is v'acher shematzah shtar shenofalai dayan. And what does it mean? It means that this shtar has a kiyum to it. Right? Why is it found next to the dayan? What was the dayan like Ke'ilu doing with the shtar? Normally a malva holds onto a shtar, a lover holds onto a shtar. Why is the dayan holding onto the shtar? Now the dayan dropped the shtar, we found the shtar right at the feet of the dayan. So the Gemara says, Hechidami, what would be the case? And the intuitive answer to this question would be the cost of the henpeg. Henpeg is the added
stamp of
approval, like when you get something notarized, right? So it means that the Bezdin was Mekayim the Shtar. If that's what's going on here, what does the Braisa mean? Lo Yotzi Olamis. Which means to say that we cannot determine anything about the shtar. We'll have to wait till Eliyahu HaNavi comes, or two witnesses will testify who dropped the shtar. Now, if you're telling me that the shtar has a henpeg on it, it's a shtar mekuyam, then everybody agrees that in the case of a shtar mekuyam, we should say achloku. You know, it's not like the lover could get away with murder. He didn't pay nothing. He's got to pay half the loan. So why does it say lo yotzi olamis? Which sounds like the malva is going to get the raw end of the deal here, because the malva will never actually get anything out of the shtar. So the Gemara answers, you know what? Even though there's a henpeg and the shtar is mekuyam, there's still a lot to talk about here. Why? Lo mi boy, lo kasa behem. I don't even have to discuss with you the case where there was no henpeg on the shtar. In such a case, we have to worry about the possibility that this shtar is invalid. And that's exactly what the lover is claiming, that he paid back the shtar. And the lover has a migu because he could have said that the whole thing was geblufta maisa, that they never started, lohoye velo nimra. Dikul and Neymar, and we could say that the lover is right, kosav luvos velo lova, that there was never a halva that took place. I mean, the Farshim asked, well, you know, why couldn't he just claim that the whole shtar was a forgery? Okay, it's more or less the same claim, that there was never a halva. So now you'll give it back to the malva, and the malva is going to collect on a chov when the lover says there never was a chov, there never was a loan. And again, we're talking about a case where there's no kiyum on the shtar. So in that case, everybody agrees that we cannot give the shtar back to the malva. The Braisa wants to be mechadish al afilu kosav behenpek. You found it next to the dayon, which means that there already was a process of kiyum, de mekuyam. Is nevertheless lo yachzer de chayshin lepiron. Even in the case of a shtar mekuyam, we can't return it to the malva. And lo yotzi enu olamis. And the malva loses out because we're choshesh for piron. Which is unbelievable, Rabbo. So we're talking about a shtar that has a chazaka to it, has a henpeg, it's mekuyam. The malva is claiming, I dropped the shtar. And it was never paid back. The lover is saying, I dropped the shtar after I paid back the loan. And the Tanakhama of this price says, lo yotzi olamis. We're never going to return the shtar to the malva. The malva is going to suffer the loss. This is not like we said before in the ratio of this price, so we're both both Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and the Rabbanan agree that in the case of a shtar mekuyam, the halach is what? Yachloku, if it's a shtar mekuyam. Now we're saying even though it's a shtar mekuyam, lo yachzir, olamis, the malva will get nothing out of this. Why? Because we're going to apply the principle of chayshinu lepiron to its natural conclusion. We're not just going to say, well, maybe he paid it back, but maybe he didn't pay it back, so let him pay half of it back. And Shnayim Oksim Vitalis. No, we're going to say we're afraid he paid it back, and the Lova is claiming truth, and therefore the Malva doesn't have a right to claim anything. This Tana that we're learning now in the Sefer of Lo Yotzienu Olamis maintains that a shtar is only meaningful when the Malva is holding on to the shtar. Without the malva's tfisa, without his holding on to the shtar is worthless. Call it mekuyam, it has a henpeg, it's got satmar hashgacha, everything's wonderful. But it's meaningless. Why? Because the malva is not holding on to the shtar. Rabbi Yossi omer, areyu b'cheskoso. Rabbi Yossi says, lo chay shinu l'piron. So it's interesting because in the second part of this braisa, the machlokas is bin akotza l'akotza. Because in the first part of the Braisa, if the shtar was mekuyam, is then everybody agrees, both Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, that we apply the principle of what? Yachloku. Now we have no one saying yachloku if the shtar is mekuyam. On the one end, on the one extreme, polar extreme, we have the Tanakhama. And the Tanakhama is saying, Lo Yatzer Olam is because Chayshinu L'Piron. On the other polar end, we have Rabbi Yossi who's saying, the Shtar is because Kosolo Chayshinu L'Piron. Return the Shtar to whom? To the Malve. And now the Gemara is going to ask a Stira. First a Stira in Rabbi Yossi, and then a Stira in the Chachomet. In fact, the Gemara of Elochayish, Rabbi Yossi Lepiron, once the Shtar is Mekuyam, we're going to return the Shtar to the Malveh, the Malveh is going to collect the Shtar. Vasanya, then we have a Braisa. Now this Braisa is talking about a Ksuba. Now with regard to a Ksuba, if you can keep in mind the following equation, this will help us get through the Gemara. The Isha is like the Malveh, she's coming to collect her Ksuba. The Ish is like the Loveh, he's claiming that he doesn't have to pay the Ksuba, or he already paid the Ksuba. And now, once again, the same scenario, you find the Shtar lost. The Ksuba was lost. Not a good idea for a woman to lose her Ksuba. Why? Because if you take the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, again, we're going to see that Mukhlefes HaShita here in this Braisa, but the Rabbi Yossi that we're familiar with, that if a Shtar Halva is found, Shtar Milva, and it was Mekuyam, then we return the Shtar to the Malva, and the Malva will collect that Shtar. So if a woman loses her Ksuba, she's in deep trouble, according to Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because Lo Chayshinu L'Piron, if the Shtar is able to survive Kiyum, which hopefully in the case of Ksuba it will, then we're going to return the Ksuba to the Baal, and he's going to collect. I messed up here. Just let me go over it one more time. Just give me a minute. I'm sorry. The Isha is like the Malva, right? The Isha is like the Malva. That means that she can collect. If we're holding now, Lo Chayshinu L'Piron, all we need is Kiyum HaShtar, then even though she dropped the Shtar, she'll get the Shtar back. And she'll be able to collect her Ksuba, what in effect might be a second time around. So who gets the Shtar back at the moment of Piron? Who's the Lova in this case, so to speak? Who, after he pays, he gets back the Shtar? That's going to be the Baal. So let me just change what I said before, because I was mistaken. I said before that she better take very good care of holding on to her Shtar. No, that's not true. What I meant to say is that when the Baal pays up the Ksuba, and that's what he's claiming here, he better watch the Shtar very carefully, because if you hold like Rabbi Yossi that Lo Chayshinu L'Piron, and he drops the Shtar, he's going to have to pay the Shtar a second time around. That's another Matayim Zuz. But nevertheless, we have a Stira. Why? Because this Braisa quotes Rabbi Yossi as saying Lo Chayshinu L'Piron. This Braisa is going to quote Rabbi Yossi as saying Chayshinu L'Piron. Vasanya Matza Shtar Ksuba Bashuk Vizman Shabal Moder. If the Baal admits that he hasn't paid back the Shtar, as Yachzer L'Isha, we give back the Shtar to the woman. That would be like a case of a Lover who admits that it was the Malva who dropped the Shtar and he never paid back the Shtar. Give it back to the Malva. So here we give it back to the Isha. Then the Baal is claiming that he paid up the Ksuba. Now here we have to ask a question. What's up if he paid the Ksuba? Did he divorce her? If a man is married to a woman, would he pay up the Ksuba prematurely? I mean, the whole Ksuba is actually a suffix, whether he'll ever have to pay it. For example, if she dies before he does, Nebuch, then he doesn't pay the Ksuba, not to the ocean, not to anybody.
No way you pay it early.
And there's no way, therefore, that he would pay it early. That would be absolute stupidity on his part. So therefore, the Tanakhama says, "Ein Baal Moder." The Baal says, "What para that I actually paid up the ksuba is lo yachzir lo lazev lo lazev for some reason which is unknown to us." There is validity to the Baal's claim when he says parati. Maybe we're talking after the divorce was delivered. Maybe we're talking about a case where he gave her tsrori, which we're going to have a sugya later on, that he gives her metaltalin, and he actually pays up the ksuba almost from the get-go, even way at the time of the marriage. But whatever it is, the chachamim here are claiming that we are Choshesh Lipiron. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Oda Tachas Baila Yachzir Leisha. If they're still married and the date of payment, the time of payment is premature, it hasn't yet emerged because they're still married, is Yachzir Leisha, then at that point we're not Choshesh Lipiron, we can return the shtar to the Malva. In this case, to the Lova, I mean to say, meaning to the Ba. No, I'm sorry. If we're not Choshesh Lipiron, then it means we give the shtar back to the Isha, and she still have rights to collect the shtar. It's like she's the Malva in this case, right? The Isha is the Malva. But Nis Alma and Nis Garsha, in other words, the time for payment to the Ksuba has already come into fruition. Is then says Rabbi Yossi lo yachzer lo lazeh v'lo lazeh, which basically means that she's going to lose out over here. She won't be able to collect her ksuba because he's believed the husband to say I was poreh the ksuba. It's after, again, when he's talking about this armula, the claim face to face is between him and her yarshim. But let's take the case of this garsh. It's between him and her, and he's saying I divorced you and I paid you up your ksuba. But in any event, from the fact that Rabbi Yossi refuses to return the ksuba to the Isha, which makes it now impossible for her as a malva to collect the halva, to collect the chov of the ksuba, it means that Rabbi Yossi is choshesh lipiron. We just had Rabbi Yossi in the previous brisa who said about the shtar that if you find the shtar and the shtar is mekuyam, is arehu bechazkaso, that will return the shtar to the malva, and therefore we should return the shtar to the isha in this case. And if the baal is claiming that parati is motzi mechel varaya, let him prove that this shtar is a meaningless shtar. In other words, the key of Mashtar is the key of keys, according to Rabbi Yossi. Lo chayshin lepiron, because of harehu bechezkoso, the kiyum gives a chazaka to the shtar, such that we can return the shtar to whom? To the malva. And he'll collect it when achoshish lepiron. Why is it, therefore, that Rabbi Yossi in ksuba refuses to return the ksuba to the isha? So the Gemara says we're desperate. At this point, the contradiction is so gaping, it's so obvious that we can only apply the principle of epoch. And what we're going to have to do is, we're going to have to switch around the opinions of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. And we're going to have to read it this way. Nafal liyad dayan lo yotzio olamis divrei Rabbi Yossi. It's Rabbi Yossi who shows up in the reisha of this brisa. And he holds a chayshin lepiron, and therefore, despite the fact that the shtar was found liyadayin, which means it has a henpek in it, nevertheless, we cannot use the shtar. It's totally invalid because there ain't no such thing as a powerful shtar that was found in the streets or wherever it was found. It's got to be found in the hands of the malva. If it's not to be found in the hands of the malva, it's not a shtar. It's not edus, and the lov is never to say parati. And therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, in the case of ksuba, we cannot return the ksuba to the isha, because when the Baal is claiming I was poreh, I already had paid you back the ksuba, he is actually believed, or at least we believe him enough to shy away from giving the ksuba back to the isha. It's a powerful tool in the hands of the isha. And Chachamim, paradoxically, they're the ones who say that if the shtar is a shtar mekuyam, hareyu v'cheskoso, cheskoso means we assume it wasn't paid up, and therefore we can return the shtar to the malva. So the Gemara says, all right, you solved one problem, but you created another problem. If you're telling me that the Chachamim are the ones who say that shtar b'cheskoso v'nachoshesh lepiron, then kasha d'rabbanon ad'rabbanon, because in the original brisa with regard to a shtar shenafal yadayon, the Chachamim said ein choshesh lepiron. In the case where you find the ksuba, now you're telling me in the reformulation of this brisa, the Chachamim say harehu bechezkaso, and harehu bechezkaso means that we can return the shtar to the isha. So matzah ksuba. You're telling me now that according to Chachamim, what do we do? Just 1 second. Oh, we switched around the shittas, right? This is according to the epoch. So if we have the epoch now, then in the reformulation of this brisa, the Chachamim say, Harei hu b'ches kaso. Just 1 second. What does Harei hu b'ches kaso mean? Just 1 second. Something is missing here. Just 1 second. Oh, I'm sorry. I made a mistake here. The Nafal Yadayon is the original Brisa. Forget about the Brisa Ksuba. In the original Brisa, we're applying the principle of Epoch, which means that the Chachamim are the ones who say Areyu Beches Koso, and we can return the Shtar to the Malva. Now, we're not changing around the Brisa of Ksuba. And in the price of Ksuba, it says, Ein habal mode, which means the Baal claims parati, is lo yachzelo lo zeh v'lo zeh. We're not going to return the shtar to the malva. So now we have a real problem of kasher rabbanon rabbanon. Let's go over it one more time. In the original brisa, with regard to the case of the shtar that fell liad dayan, the chachamim say we're not choshesh lepiron. That's what we just reformulated the brisa, but rather harei b'ches koso, and the shtar is returned to the hands of the malva. We're not choshesh lepiron. But in the case of ksuba, the Chachamim were the ones who said, Lo lazeh, lo yachzeh, lo lazeh, v'lo lazeh, which means that we are choshesh lepiron. So the Gemara answers, Shtar ksuba kula Rab Yossi. The brisa of Shtar ksuba is Rab Yossi. There's no mention or recording of the Chachamim Shita in this brisa. V'chisurei mechzurei v'hochi k'tani. Let's read the brisa in its full-fledged formulation, which means that we have to be mesaken, we have to be mashlim the brisa as it is. So he found the shtar ksuba in the shuk, and the baal is moder, then it's yachzel baal, but ein baal moder, but rather the baal is claiming that I paid up the ksuba lo yachzer lo lazeh v'lo lazeh. Then we're choshesh lepiron because the date for payment to the ksuba has already passed, and now we can begin to imagine that maybe he actually paid up the ksuba. Aval oda tachas bailo, if they're still Baruch Hashem married and living together. And the zman, the moment of chiyuv piron of ksuba has not yet emerged. Yachzer leisha. Under this situation, we can return the shtar to the isha. Shereb Yosi Omer. Oda tachas bailo yachzer leisha. Nisarmo niskarsha lo yachzer lo lazeh v'lo lazeh. So she doesn't get back her ksuba in the case where we really have a feasible and almost a compelling logic to believe that the Baal actually paid back the ksuba, because it was after his death. I mean, again, we're talking about the Yorshim who are putting forth this claim. Onizgarsha, or after he divorced his wife. So Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that what? That Chayshinon lepiron. Onizgarsha lo yachzeh lo lazeh v'lo lazeh. The Chacham on the other hand are going to tell us that what? The Chachamim are saying Harei b'ches kasa. Correct? Cheskoso means that we can return the shtar to the malva. In the case of the ksuba, return the shtar to the isha. And why? Because since it's a shtar makuyam, it remains kosher, it remains cheskoso, despite the fact that the shtar was found in the street. So there's no stira now between the chachom and the chachom, because the brisa of ksuba, which reflects the fear of Piron, it says lo yachzir, that's the shita of Rabbi Yossi. That's not the shita of the Chacham. The Chacham say Harei hu b'chezkaso. Now I have a note here. He says the following: the afshe b'shtar acher choshesh Rav Yossi l'piron. Now here's something interesting, because Rav Yossi in Ksuba makes a differentiation between Oda Tachas Baila or Nisgarsha. But in the case of Oda Tachas Baila, then Rav Yossi agrees that we can return the shtar, we can turn the Ksuba to the Isha. In another shtar, leaving out Ksuba for a moment, the regular shtar, classic shtar Milva, is Rav Yossi, is Choshesh Lepiron. Right? He's the one who disagreed with the Chacham, who said, Hareyu Bechezkoso. Now Rav Yossi holds that Chayshina Lepiron, Bein Betok Zmano, Bein Liachar Zmano. Let's say, for example, the Halva was a 30-day Halva. We find the shtar within the 30-day period. Rav Yossi would still say that we cannot return the shtar to the malva if the malva is claiming, if the lova is claiming parati. So why is it that in a classic shtar chov, a shtar milva, the lova, according to Rav Yossi, is believed to say parati, even toch zmano, whereas in the case of a shtar ksuba, Rav Yossi maintains that toch zmano, we will return the shtar to the malva, in this case it's the isha. So the answer is, Hainu Mishum de Bistam Shtar, Shtarchov, Sofoli Para, is there for Chayshin and Sheva Para Tov Zmano. So Olova takes a loan, and it's very feasible that even though he got an extension of time, but if he has funds, he will want to pay early. You know, he doesn't want to have the onus, the burden of the Chov as an albatross around his neck. But Abu Biksuba, Yitochin Shaloti Paraliola. It's quite possible that she'll never be able to claim the Ksuba. For example, if she dies first. So in such a case, when Achoshish Vipiron, a person's not gonna the Baal is not gonna pay up the Chov before the Chiyuv emerges, when it's a question, it's a non-certain situation as to whether or not he'll ever have to pay back the Chov. Rav Papa Amar Li Olam Lo Tepach. In other words, you don't have to change the original Brisa. And Rav Yossi holds that Lo Chayshina Lipiron. So then what do we do with this Brisa? The Brisa says in the name of Rav Yossi, is Lo Yachzer Lo Lezev Lo Lezev. That we are believing the husband to say that he paid up. So how can you reconcile that with Rav Yossi, who says in the original Brisa, Lo Chayshina Lepiron, before we made the change? So the answer is a different methodology. We're going to use the methodology of L'divreha. There Rav Yossi is talking to the Chachamim and he's saying L'divreha. Why? Because according to the Shita of the Rabbanon, he's telling him, L'didi, let's go through it first. L'didi, if it was my Shita, then afilunis armola onis garsha, even if the time for payment has come, nami lo chayshinon lipiron, we're not afraid of piron, even though the chov has emerged, and therefore we can return the shtar to the malva, and we can return the shtar in the case of the isha of the ksuba to the Isha, Aval Lididchu, according to you, that your Choshesh Lepiron, Oduli Mios, at least in one case, you should agree that we are able to return, and we should return the Shtar Ksuba to the Isha, to the Malva. And we're not Choshesh Lepiron, the Odetachas Baila. Why would a man divorce his wife? I'm sorry, why would a man pay up his Ksuba before he divorces his wife? The Yachzalisha, therefore we should return the Shtar Ksuba to the hands of the woman. The Labas Pironi, nobody would pay back a Shtar Ksuba prematurely when she's still, Baruch Hashem, you know, living with her husband in harmony and be Ona Tachas Baila. Amulei Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon say, guess what? In the case of Ksuba, we're going to be Choshesh Lepiron even before the Shas Chiyuv. Why? The Emer Tzrori Atfisa. Because it was quite common, it was almost accepted process, accepted a practice or custom that at the time of the wedding itself, a husband would pay up the ksuba. What does that mean, pay up the ksuba? He wouldn't actually pay up the ksuba, but he would give her a shibud, so to speak. He would give her a mashka. That's called tsrari. Tsrari amitaltalin of value. He would give her a bag of pearls that come to the market value of 200 zuz. And he would say to her, you hold on to these pearls, and if you die first, then I'll get these pearls back. If I die first, then you want to collect your ksuba, well, you've already collected the ksuba. Or if I divorce you, you've already collected the ksuba. So since this was a common practice, therefore, the Rabbanan are going to tell Rabbi Yossi that we cannot return the ksuba to the Isha, even if the marriage is still alive and well. Why? Because what's going to happen is that when the time comes for the payment of the ksuba, if and when, she'll collect the ksuba, even though she already has collected the ksuba. She's got the mitzrari, locked up in a vault. Now she's going to take him to Bezdin, or his Yarshim to Bezdin, to have them pay up the ksuba, because she's holding on to the ksuba. Therefore, we can never return the ksuba to the Isha. And then again, this leads us to the point that I was making earlier this year, that she better be very careful with the shtar ksuba. It is, or if he paid up, he better be very careful with the shtar ksuba. The shtar ksuba is a very dangerous tool. Now, again, you might ask the following question. If a man is matfis tsrari,
yeah, then why does he not get the ksuba right then and there?
Yeah, he's placing himself in a very precarious situation, very vulnerable situation, because she has now the power to collect the ksuba, and he didn't take back the ksuba.
And the tsrari ifasa does not create a shtar of its own, that there's been a preliminary payment?
Again, if he has two witnesses, or if he has a document that she signs that she received the tsrari, then you're right. But if he does this beino levena, he wants to keep her happy, so he gives her the ksuba or its value up front, then he's really exposing himself to a tremendously dangerous situation.
Is it always the value of the ksuba, or can it be a partial payment?
I think it could be partial as well, but she'll probably hold out for tsrari to the tune of the ksuba, and that seems to be what the Gemara is assuming. Mm. And now finally we have a third possibility of reconciling this stira, and that's Ravina. And this sort of completes the sugya. So Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we can start the famous sugya of Toref and Tofes. Ravina Amar Li Olam, Epuch Kamaisa. Let's go back to the original Brisa, and we're going to change it around. And Rabbi Yossi is the one who's Choshesh Lepiron, and not the Chachamim. So that's the Shita of Lo Yotzienu Olamis, that reflects the Shita Rabbi Yossi, and that was the original Epoch, if you remember. V'tayma d'Rabbanan Hacha, and now you'll ask me the following question. If you're telling me that it's Rabbi Yossi who's Choshesh Lepiron, and it's the Rabbanan who say that we can return, the Shtar has its Chazak, as we said before, we can return the Shtar to the Malo and not Choshesh Lepiron, then what are we going to do with the Chachamim in the second Brisa? Because in the Brisa of Ksuba, the Chachamim are quoted as saying that we will not return the Shtar to the Isha, even though it's a Shtar Mekuya, but rather with Choshesh Lepiron. The time of the Rabbanan Hacha, Bishum de Chayshina L'shtei Ksubos. Why is Ksuba special Aloch in Shtaros? Because it's something called Shtei Ksubos. What happens in a case where a woman loses her Ksuba, and the Chacham say, Isha B'lo Ksuba is Asur L'Baila Kandida, so she has a right to claim, the Shtar Ksuba was lost, and she demands a replacement Shtar Ksuba, a different Shtar Ksuba. Now, it's possible that she's lying through her teeth. She knows full well where the shtar is located, where the ksuba is located. And when it says in the Braisa, Ein Abal Modeh, it doesn't mean that the Baal is claiming parati. The Gemara's reinterpreter, Ravina, says no. His taina is that she's holding on to another ksuba. And therefore the ksuba that you found is not a valid ksuba. If you're going to give her the shtar ksuba, then after I die, liyachem ebi yesum, she's going to collect from the yarshim with this other shtar. And that we can't do. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, l'shtei ksubas lo chai shinon, we're not choshesh for two ksubas. So let's just review the last point that we made here. Rav Papa, he's worried about the case of atfasat srari, which makes the ksuba situation a very unique situation. It's the yotzei dofen. Ravina is worried about shtei ksubas, and that's also a yotzei dofen situation, which is based on the halacha that you have to write a shtar ksuba as a replacement in a case where the ksuba was lost. Now there's a footnote here in the name of the Ritva. I'm not sure I understand what the Ritva is trying to say, so I think I'm going to leave it out for the time being. Maybe between now and tomorrow, if I get a little bit of a ha'oris panim here and I shed a light on this Ritva, I'll share it with you. But officially what I want to talk about tomorrow, b'li neder, is the issue about